Joining us. I pray that the Lord will use your time watching our service today in a way that will help you grow in your love for Him and your appreciation for God's Word. Third Presbyterian Church has been around for a long time, and it has held to and continues to hold to the truths of the Scriptures, and we hold to the classic historic Christian faith and doctrines. We'd love to have you join us some Sunday in person. We meet at 10:25 a.m. Thanks for watching.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn in them with me to turn in them with me to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. And while you're turning there, the children are free to be dismissed for the children's Bible lesson with Miss Lydia this morning. That hymn we were just singing, Holy Spirit, if you're ever at a loss for what to pray, pull that out. I mean, I would encourage you to use that this week. Those are great phrases to make into prayer this week. So maybe if you're having some personal quiet time with the Lord, I would encourage you to keep that in your Bible, pull it out, and pray through that for yourself. It's a great prayer. So this morning we're looking at the fathers. We're continuing in the sermon series that I've called Fathers of the Faith. We're looking at the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham we looked at in 2019, and then took a big skip over from the latter half of 2019 and then into 2020. And now we're back looking at the second of the patriarchs, Isaac. And so the passage we're looking at this morning is extensive. It's long. The whole chapter is 67 verses. We're going to read most of it, but I'll let you remain seated. It's a long passage, but this is one of those you just... I'm cutting out 10 verses where Abraham's servant repeats what happened that we will have just read what happened. He repeats it to Laban, so I'm taking out that. But we'll read verses 1 through 41 and then 50 through 67. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water, at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her jar, water jar, on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please, "Give me a little water to drink from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, "Please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She added, "We have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night." The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and has fulfilled and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman." Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out toward the man to the spring. As soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, "Thus the man spoke to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave straw and fodder to the camels, and there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then food was set before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have finished, until I have said what I have to say." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my clan and take a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and prosper your way. You shall take a wife for my son from my clan and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my clan. And if they will not give her to you, you'll be free from my oath.'" And then he tells these next 9 or 10 verses. He tells Laban how the day went, how he came to the spring and prayed and so forth. And then in verse 50, "Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'The thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken.' When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver and of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they spent the night there. When they arose in the morning, he said, 'Send me away to my master.' Her brother and her mother said, 'Let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days. After that she may go.' But he said to them, 'Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master.' They said, 'Let us call the young woman and ask her.' And they called Rebekah and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' She said, 'I will go.' So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, 'Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him.' Then Rebekah and her young women arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Now Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai Roi and was dwelling in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Lord, would you please open our eyes and enable us to behold wonderful things from this, your law. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. I was recently in a meeting with several PCA ministers. In particular, they were with a part of RUF, which is the campus ministry of the PCA, the official campus ministry of the PCA. And a couple of them mentioned to me how when they were stationed on a certain campus, there was only one PCA church in that town. And so they didn't have a choice about where they were going to church, try to decide between this one or that one or the others. They had one and only one, and so that's where they went. Now, if they had their way, their druthers, they would have chosen a different church because the music style wasn't their preference or the age and stage of most of the congregation wasn't the same as they were at that particular time. But they said they came to really, really love and appreciate that church. And I mentioned to them that in situations like that, when you're forced to interact with certain people, maybe even people you wouldn't normally interact with, that when you're forced to accept the people like that, it's good for your souls. It's a good thing for your soul. It's a good thing for your spiritual development because it makes you appreciate people who are different from you. It makes you crucify your ideas of what is good or right. And it made them trust in the providence of God. It made them appreciate what God provided. And that's what this passage of Scripture is really about. It's about God's provision. And in particular, what we see is God providing certain people to accomplish God's purposes. One of God's greatest gifts to people is people. And so what I want to look at this morning are the types of people that He provides and how we should be thankful and trusting God's provision. So, number one, we need to trust God's providence in leaders. We need to trust God's providence in leaders. Back to verse 1, now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and Abraham said to his servant, put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. So Abraham here, he's being a godly leader. And he knew that Isaac needed to be married and have children in order for the promise to be fulfilled. But he was very concerned about the woman to whom he would be married. He wanted to make sure that she was the right type of woman for his son. And so he took action. And he makes his servant swear, go through this ritual of swearing. And then he sends him off to find a wife for his son. And so I appreciate what Abraham did here as a leader. But really what stands out most probably to us as we read through this was the faithfulness of the servant. That he didn't push back against Abraham's demands, Abraham's calling on his life. He didn't question Abraham. Now, certainly, when it comes to leadership, I'm not advocating that we follow blindly our leaders. But for modern people, Western people, that's usually not the problem. Usually the problem is simply following. And what we learn here is our need to be submitted to leaders like that. Now, maybe the leaders are just parents at this point in your life. If you're younger, then your parents provide leaders. For others, it might be advisors or counselors. We need to be submitted to the leaders that God has placed in our lives. We need to appreciate that provision, those people that God has given to us. Again, one of God's greatest gifts to people is people, particularly leaders. In one church in which I served, there was a younger man who sensed or believed that he was being called to go into the ministry. And so he was ready to take off, go to seminary and get his degree and then move into church work. And so at this particular church, a group of elders got together and said, well, before we really endorse you for this particular call, this particular job, then we want to get to know you better. We want to hear more from you. We want to hear your heart and so forth. And so he started meeting with this group of elders. I can't remember if it was weekly or every other week or once a month for a little bit of time or something like that. They eventually came back to him and said, you know, we hear what you're saying, but we are not convinced that you're called to the ministry. And so we can't endorse you. We're not going to encourage you to go to seminary. We don't believe really that this is God's call on your life. He was not excited. He had a vision of what he wanted to do, and he was pretty frustrated, and he expressed his frustration. I think I've told this story before several years ago when I was preaching on the church. But I ran into him several years later. I had actually moved to another church, and I don't remember where he was at the time, if he still lived in that town or not, but he was working for a ministry, but it was not he was not an ordained ministry. He was not in a church. He was helping a ministry. And they were at the General Assembly, and they sold resources, curriculum to churches and things like that. So he was working for that group. In his particular role, he was really more of a fundraiser for them. But I ran into him at the General Assembly, and we just started catching up. It had been several years since I saw him. And he said, you know, I was so mad when the elders told me that they couldn't endorse me, that they didn't sense that I was called to the ministry. I was so frustrated by that. But that was the best decision. They knew what they were talking about. And I'm so thankful that they didn't encourage me to go to seminary, and in a sense wouldn't bless that, because that really wasn't me. I know now that wasn't my calling, working in these other ways. That's what I needed. I just appreciated that. You know, that's what we need to remember. When we think about God's provision for us, the people that He sends into our lives, we need to trust God's providence in leaders. And then second, we need to trust God's providence in spouses. In spouses. Now, you see here in verse 50, after Laban heard the story of God arranging the circumstances for Abraham's servant to meet Rebekah, verse 50 reads, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. A godly wife was absolutely necessary for Isaac. Abraham was rightfully unwilling to have his son be connected to the Canaanites. Why? Because of things that we read in the Bible, specific commands and examples where wives turn these men, their hearts away from the Lord. Of course, you read about it. Esau would be a great example in the book of Genesis. You keep reading and you learn about Solomon, who had way too many wives, which is unwise in itself. But they turned his heart away from the Lord. You know, the biggest decision that any of us ever make is who we marry. For some, it'll be coming to grips with God not providing a spouse. But if God does bring along someone, the most important factor is their commitment to honoring the Lord and following Him. We need to trust and appreciate God providing us leaders, spouses, to spur us on in our love for the Lord. On a personal story, I was I dated a girl from about spring of my junior year in high school and through spring of my junior year in college, and she was and is a nice gal and everything, and we would break up a little bit off and on through the years, get back together, break up, get back together, kind of your typical high school immature romance. And so one day I was back in Stanford, and this would be in 1988, and and I was taken to lunch by Curtis Tanner. Now, Curtis Tanner, for those of you who don't know, he was on staff at Briarwood Presbyterian Church. He was the founder of the campus outreach ministry. And so I had a lot of respect for Curtis. I didn't know him all that well personally, but he was leading the campus outreach ministry, which at the time was just a half dozen campuses or something like that. Now they're probably 150 campuses and worldwide and so forth. But Curtis was at the time was still roaming around on campus, mentoring students and taking them to lunch like he did with me that day. And we went to the Pawpaw Patch on Green Springs Avenue. It was kind of new at the time. And anyway, we went there for lunch, and we're driving back to campus for him to drop me off. And there's Curtis, who's about 6'2", 6'3", and he's sitting way back in this little Honda Accord driving. And he says, "So, Michael, when are you going to break up with Karen?" I was like, "Well, that's kind of out of from left field. Well, what do you mean? I guess I wasn't really planning on it." And he said, "You know, I know y'all been dating since high school and all. I've seen you interact. You know, that's just an immature emotional connection. It's just not right. You know, you need to finish that one off and move on with whatever the Lord would have for the future." You know, within a week, we had broken up, and then that summer, Lisa and I started kind of talking, and you know, for Karen and for me, that was the best decision for both of our good. It would not have been good for her. It would not have been good for me for us to be married. But, you know, look at the wife I have now. I joked with somebody this week that I think the reason why I got this job at Third Presbyterian was because you liked my wife so much. The biggest decision you'll ever make is who you marry. And we need to remember the purposes of marriage. Procreation, yes. Imitation, most definitely imitating Christ and His bride, the church, but also sanctification. You know, the one to whom you're married will be like sandpaper, making you shine brighter, but in the process it might hurt a little bit as you become more like Christ, because they're going to challenge you. And for those who are single, I just remind you that it's better to be single and wish you were married than to be married and wishing you were single. God's gifts to people are people, leaders, spouses, and we need to trust God's providence in all that. And then finally, we need to trust God's providence, period. So not just in leaders, not just in spouses as we see here, but we just need to trust God's providence, period. Again, verse 10, "Then the servant sent to 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, and he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And so then he prayed, 'O Lord God, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I'm standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the woman to whom I shall say, "Please let down your jar that I may drink," and who shall say, "Drink and I will water your camels," let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, he wasn't even finished with his prayer, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. You know, there were 10 camels. Camels can drink about 25 gallons of water each. So, you know, I'm not a mathematician, but I think that's 250 gallons of water that she would have drawn for the camels. That's some heavy lifting, literally. That's hard work. And here was this godly young woman who was a servant, helping, who was kind to this stranger whom she did not know. The God working out these arrangements, providentially causing the circumstances to be in such a way so that the servant would know, yes, that's the one. In a sense, he laid out a fleece, which is what we call it when you read about what Gideon did in Judges about chapter 6 or so. He in a sense, laid out a fleece. Doesn't necessarily mean that this is the way we should always make decisions. All right, flip a coin, and if it's heads, then I'll do this. If it's tail, I'll do Y. that's not necessarily what this is teaching here, but it's just a reminder that God arranges all these circumstances. One of our missionaries that we support, a newer missionary that we support is Joel Linton, and I just saw an email from him this week. He's in sort of just the opposite situation. He's planting a church there in Yilan County in Taiwan, and he's been there now for 4 years praying for a partner, someone to come along, essentially be an assistant pastor or an intern, something, a fellow missionary. And he's been praying that the Lord would provide. No answer yet. I have an alarm on my phone that goes off at 9 or 9:30 every Saturday night because they're about 13-ish, 12 to 14, depending on daylight saving time, which confuses everything, of course. But they're ahead of us. And so on Saturday night at 9-ish, my alarm goes off and my note comes up that says, pray for the Lintons, because it's Sunday morning in Taiwan and they're getting ready for their worship services. And so I always pray for them. And I pray this every Saturday night that, Lord, please give them a partner. They need someone. They've been there now for 4 years, working hard, not a single partner. The church is growing. Good things are happening. But I just can't imagine. I love having Hunter and Anton and then a group of elders and that I can interact with and have to, provide wind for my sails. And some of you have no doubt been praying for certain relationships for a long time. And so I just encourage you this morning to keep trusting the Lord. Hang in there. Know that God's greatest gift to people is people, and He'll provide people at the right time in His wisdom, orchestrating events. Trust His providence. And don't forget Rebecca's kindness here. Don't forget her hospitality, how she worked so diligently to provide for this stranger. I mean, again, it was a lot of work. It would have taken a lot of time. But she did it seemingly with a very generous heart. Which is just a reminder to be kind to everyone you meet. You never know what the Lord is doing. You never know what the Lord is arranging. You never know how the Lord is orchestrating events and circumstances. One of God's greatest gifts to people is people. We need people. We have to have others to lead us, to love us, to partner with us, to guide us. People are essential. They're essential to our lives. Let's give thanks today to the Lord who gives good gifts, people, to His people. Amen. Lord, we ask that You would enable us to appreciate people, one of Your greatest gifts to us. May we ever be thankful for the leaders You put in our lives, for the spouses that You put into our lives. May we be thankful, trusting Your providence, if You don't give us spouses or leaders. May we be thankful for the way You providentially arrange relationships. I sit here before Your people preaching the Word today and remember a time when I said I never wanted to live in Birmingham, Alabama. And yet in Your providence, the way You arrange things, Lord, You bring about what You want to accomplish for Your purposes. You fulfill Your promises. You do everything. You provide everything that's needed for Your people. And I pray that You would help us to always be thankful. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord has used this time today to stimulate your thinking. I'd love a chance to get to know you a little bit better and have some conversation. Please feel free to reach out to me in whatever way is comfortable for you. You can come by the office, or I'll buy you lunch, or just a cup of coffee. Of course, you can always come by on Sunday mornings, and we can meet face-to-face, 10:25 on Sundays. Thanks again for watching.